Hey, I'm Jeremy Loeb. Thanks so much for tuning in. You're about to hear an interview with a Western Carolina University professor regarding a plan from the North Carolina Senate to cap tuition to $500 per semester at five different universities. Now, that number five was reduced to two after historically black colleges and universities protested the bill yesterday in Raleigh. The bill's sponsor, Senator Tom Apodaca of Hendersonville, announced that the HBCUs would be stripped from that plan, leaving only UNC Pembroke and Western Carolina as the affected universities. That is the latest on the bill as it stands during the time of this interview. And we will go to that interview now.
David McCord, I'm a professor of clinical psychology and this year chair of the Faculty Senate.
Okay, and now the Faculty Senate has taken a position on Senate Bill 873, and we should note that this bill has also sort of been folded into the Senate budget proposal. Can you tell me what we know and what the Senate faculty's position is on it?
Yeah, this was, you know, a real attention-getting piece of legislation. So the semester is over, but we were able to convene an impromptu group of several dozen, maybe 50 or 60. Faculty just on a moment's notice, just due to interest in this. We discussed and debated it for a good hour and a half. There's many layers to this. One is the overarching issue is if it can lower the cost of college education and make college more accessible and affordable to the general public of this state, that's a really great thing. And I think all of us recognize the historic importance of that and its alliance with our state's constitution and the reason many of us have chosen to work in a public university. Another layer is so much of the protest has been it seems to me to be a distrust of the motives of the legislators in Raleigh. While some of that probably is well-grounded, in our case, we have this unique situation of the bill's sponsor is an alumnus of this university with a long track record of being supportive and loyal and having Western Carolina University's interests in mind. It's been really helpful over the years, including this year, in terms of the large bond referendum.
And we're talking about Senator Tom Apodaca.
Senator Tom Apodaca is a great friend of this university. It's hard to infer the motives of other people, especially people you don't know, but you don't have to do any inferring with Senator Apodaca with regard to this university. He has always been just enormously helpful to Western. And it's not just because it's his alma mater. He lives in Hendersonville. He's in this region, and this is the regional university for the area he represents as a senator. It's inconceivable that he would knowingly be doing something that would undermine the viability of this institution. That makes no sense.
To your knowledge, did Senator Apodaca consult with the university before introducing this bill?
That's a good question. And not to my knowledge. Now, the issue has been, the basic concept has been talked about verbally. You know, I've been hearing about it for probably 9 months. I can't remember if it's from before last Christmas or just after. You know, floating in the hallways, essentially. But it had the HBCUs and Pembroke, and at one point, UNC Asheville. But none of this was in writing. You know, this was all verbal discussion, but it's not a brand new idea. It was a surprise to see it in a formal Senate bill, and then it was a complete surprise to see that UNCA was not on that list and Western was. Speaking as faculty, we had not gotten a hint of that. It could have been that Senator Apodaca may have had conversations with members of our upper administration that were private, but I don't know that one way or the other.
Do you have any clue as to why UNC Asheville would not be included and Western would?
I can only speculate. I'll be glad to do that, but I'm just trying to make sense of a situation that is really complicated and confusing.
Sure. Well, knowing it's speculation, what could pop into your mind?
Okay. What pops into my mind is this. My guess is that what kept this issue in front of the legislator's face is the fact that Elizabeth City State University really is in legitimate difficulty at a survival level. You know, with loss of over 50% of its student body in the last 5 years, they needed to have a plan, and the plans of shutting it down or merging it, you know, say with ECU, for example, is what many other states have done. Georgia just last week, for example, merged Darton College and Albany State University, just made one out of them. Okay, so that's a common understandable legislative move. And so I think that has been discussed in the past, and that was on the table. And as an alternative, my thinking is that people like Senator Apodaca, he's a Republican. There's a kind of a free market point of view that they espouse. And what do we know as free market economist people that could help save this institution, help bring it return to viability? It's a marketing-based approach, is that if you've got a good that's valuable and that there's demand for it, if you lower your price to less than your competitors, then you'll gain market share. And I think that's what was driving it, and it was focused on Elizabeth City. So then they say, okay, in order to generalize this, to make this plan more applicable broadly, we could add the other smaller institutions, not necessarily struggling, although Fayetteville State and Winston-Salem State, you know, have had some history of that, not to the degree of Elizabeth City. Pembroke's doing well. Western's thriving. Struggling institutions is part of the issue, but that's just what gets the conversation started. When you're making that list, they're picking smaller, regionally distributed universities. And that doesn't hold up exactly because Pembroke's not far from Fayetteville State. But it's generally true that these are go from one end of the state to the other, geographically distributed. They tend to be smaller rather than the larger universities. So I think early in the game, as they were just talking about it in the hallway, just talking about some of the things I just said, Asheville appeared on it because legislators probably did not understand UNCA's unique mission. They just didn't have a grip on that. They were just looking at enrollment. And, you know, it is small, 3,000 or 4,000 students. And so I think if you just say, let's look at our smallest schools and see what we can do to boost enrollment, UNCA would have been on the list purely based on that. When you get more serious about it and say, okay, why are we doing this? Where, how far are apart are these schools? What's the population of the state? We have a good geographic spread. I think they claim now, I've not looked at this, that with these five that are currently on the list until last night, that any citizen in North Carolina is within 110 miles of one of those. So these are reasonable. I think it's a ex post facto explanation, you know, of why the five, but I think that the geography is not a completely unreasonable concept. When you say, let's do some broad reach. If we're going to fund some of our universities, we can't do all 17, but if we're going to do some, let's reach the most people we can and let's spread them out and make them accessible to as many people as possible. All right, then you get down to mission, and UNCA, it was created for a different purpose. It was created to provide a public alternative to private liberal arts schools like, you know, Davidson and Furman and so forth. And it does a good job of that, and it's a valuable resource for the state, but it's a specialty school like the School of the Arts. Western is a very traditional, you know, regional comprehensive university with access being very high on its mission historically.
So if the legislature caps tuition for Western Carolina at $500, doesn't that tie the university's hands in future years as far as raising its money, the money that they may need to raise? I mean, does the university itself want to have their price of admission dictated to them by the legislature?
No. I mean, if they don't handle it right, it's catastrophic. There's a couple of things going on here, though. Currently, the tuition to go to Western Carolina is $4,000 a year. It's a complicated formula, but the best estimate of most people is that represents 53% of the cost of what you're getting, that the state provides 47% of that in the form of the state appropriation. So that's the whole point of public universities, is that the state general fund, the taxpayers of the state, are subsidizing the education of every student that goes to a public university. The level of that subsidy varies. It used to be a lot higher. You know, our Constitution says it should be as free as possible. So the level of subsidy used to be a lot higher. It's just gone down over the years. The out-of-pocket that you pay has gone up as the state subsidy has gone down. But right now, it's about a 50-50 split. What this plan is doing is jumping that state appropriation or the subsidy back up to close to 85%. The cost of education remains the same. The state's paying a much bigger share. The students and their family are paying a much smaller share.
I see.
Costs are going up each year. And there's no way this works without some flexibility in that. But what when they put the $70 million back into the bill, the assumption, the promise was, Apodaca's commitment was, that the state raises its appropriation to the level that completely compensates for the loss in tuition payment from the student. And that needs to be dynamic. It needs to, you know, change over time as costs of everything change.
Are there any guarantees in this bill that that can be provided in future years?
Yeah, that's what everybody says. And I think that probably some additional language would be helpful in that regard, saying it's state law that they can't obligate future legislatures. They can only make so much guarantee, because then there, you know, there's a new legislature that comes in.
Right. So what's stopping a future legislature from saying we don't need these colleges and universities?
Nothing is now either.
Nothing is now, I see. Okay. So this wouldn't be such a dramatic change.
Here's another angle on this. There are 1,000 angles here, but here's one.
Sure.
Is that right now the state appropriation that we get, you know, from the state, they've been cutting since 2008. So Western Carolina's annual operating budget is today $40 million lower than it was in 2008, even though we have significantly more students. We've been growing throughout that time.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. So the state cut, I mean, they, legislator, you know, who we vote for mm-hmm. goes to Raleigh. If they're the mindset of the current legislature, they are into lowering taxes and cutting costs. And so they are cutting university budgets. They have been doing it since 2008. And began massively doing it in 2010. So it's been significant here, you know, $40 million less annual operating budget than we had in 2008. It's been gradual over time and so forth, but that's a lot. So there's no guarantees now. So the question really then is, would this new plan put us at greater risk? Would we be more vulnerable to the annual, I don't want to say whims, but, you know, the annual budgeting decisions by the legislature?
Mm-hmm.
The answer to that probably is yes. So language in the bill, I don't know, it's a more subtle language than you usually see written in those bills, but they could guarantee that future budgetary adjustments in the state allocation would be proportional to mm-hmm. the levels that have been set for this special category.
No, you said this statement that you sent me was released before the allocation of the
money.
Yeah,
when the 873, you know, when it came out, it had no budget information in it at all.
Right, right.
And so it was, on its face, looked like a $26 million budget cut to Western. So that's not survivable, really.
Mm-hmm. And so your conclusions, which you stated, despite your positive feelings about the sponsors and their motives, that you have serious concerns about the details contained within. Had those concerns been remedied?
They were largely remedied by the inclusion of the $70 million. That went a long way. I would say that pretty much alleviated all concerns for many of us and most concerns for most others.
I see. Okay, so as it stands now, I'm not sure if you can give me a yes-no answer, but do you support the bill in its current form?
As it stands now, I personally do. I can't really speak for the whole faculty. I think that it would be fair to say my previous sentence, that including the compensatory funding formally in the bill itself alleviated most of the concerns of the faculty here.
Now, what about the fact that if the HBCUs are stripped away, as Apodaca has said that he would, that this bill will really only affect UNC Pembroke and Western Carolina University?
Yeah.
And so it seems like almost that you guys will be operating under different rules from the rest of the universities in the state. Are you okay with that?
I've not had long enough to think about that. I would say I would try to make that work. You know, I would lean positively toward it for the same reasons that I have been to begin with, is that there's an opportunity for people to obtain a college education. It makes it more affordable to more people. Lowering tuition from $4,000 a year to $1,000 a year is an attention-getting marketing move. If somebody's on the fence between going to Appalachian State or Western, and the family is not rich, really, I mean, that's a game changer.
And is Western Carolina struggling to attract students currently?
No, we've had steady growth for many years now. This past year, we were stable. This past year is the first time we have not grown I don't know how many years. It's been quite a few.
So it seems like the reasoning for this bill was to boost enrollment at schools that were struggling to have enrollment, but Western Carolina doesn't have that problem. So why is Western part of this?
Right. Be sensitive as to how you quote this, because I'm inferring motive. That I think that the a plan to deal using marketing-based strategies with our struggling institutions was what initiated the thinking here. And then I think that Apodaca worked hard to get Western added to that list because of the benefit and demand that it creates.
I see. So he expected it to be a boon to Western.
Yeah, I think he thinks it. And I think that there's a couple of things happening here. One is, again, getting a little deep in the weeds, is most of the demographers predict a dip in 2020 in college-age population based on people not having children right after 9/11.
Oh, I see. Okay, so he's worried that enrollment may dip.
I think he's thinking proactively. See, once that dip occurs, there is a demographic shift. Several forces coincide with that year. You know, the drop in birth rates, but it didn't affect. It affected white populations more than any others. And so as we come out of that dip, there's going to be a different makeup of student-age population.
And this is, again, trying to assign motive, which I know you can't really do without being speculative, but Apodaca is retiring, and so this is pretty much his last go-round, I think, this short session. So do you think that he's trying to boost Western Carolina in future years
while he
can?
I sure do.
I see. Okay. And there has been significant backlash to the bill, particularly yesterday. Alumni from HBCUs gathered outside the legislature and protested, and Apodaca announced that he would be removing the three HBCUs from that bill. What do you think about the backlash to this bill?
I think the idea of how to deal with the struggling members of the system, particularly Elizabeth City and some of the smaller schools, which happen to be HBCUs in a couple of cases, I think that worried people that this legislature would be looking for ways to close them down. And I think that the fear of that is what is automatically triggered when there's any actions like this that focus on those schools specifically.
But you don't see it that way, at least from Western Carolina's perspective.
I think if done right, it could be a benefit to all the schools on the list.
Okay. All right. Well, Dr. McCord, those are the questions I had. Is there anything else about this? I know we covered a lot, but is there anything else that you wanted to say about it?
I think I speak for all of us. And I said we appreciate the willingness of the state Senate leadership, including Senator Apodaca, to look boldly at some solutions to problems they face that could be of great benefit to the citizens. And we appreciate the creativity, out-of-the-box thinking, and the willingness to look at a big plan like this.
All right. Well, Dr. McCord, thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Sure thing.